Welcome everyone to the Proven Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Church. I'm a music producer from Northeast Ohio. I began this weekly interview series to give you different perspectives from artists, producers, engineers, and other individuals in the music industry. In each episode, we touch on not only what has helped the person succeed, but we also touch on what has shaped them into the person that they are today. I hope you're able to gain some real proven knowledge from the show, and that it helps elevate you on your own journey to success as well. Let's get into it. Going on, everyone. Welcome to episode 203 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. Today, I welcomed a local artist. He's from Canton, Ohio, which is about 20 minutes from where I'm from. His name is Marcus Wayne. I actually found Marcus's music a few months ago, and he recently dropped a new project called Singleton. So I had him on the show this week to discuss more about how he got into music initially at a young age, learned to play some instruments. He got led to music production. We talked about, you know, how that process has evolved as far as, you know, not just his production, but his songwriting and recording. He discussed the process of creating Singleton as well, and just spending the last 2 to 3 years crafting the album, how it differed from his first couple projects as well, and the goals that he has moving forward, you know, wanting to continue to build a sense of community, help out the next generation, and also make Singleton a brand as well, and do a lot of cool things with that. I think it's all super awesome, and it's great to see, you know, someone from the local area doing incredible work and who has incredible music. So I hope you guys enjoy this one, and without further ado, let's get into it. All right, welcome everyone to episode 203 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. Today I have a really talented artist from Northeast Ohio. He's only like 20 minutes from where I am. He's in Canton, Ohio. Very excited to have this guy on the show today. Everybody, please welcome Marcus Wayne to the show. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me again, for sure.
Absolutely, man. Like I said, I'm glad that we could get in touch. And I like I told you before we started recording, I always have tough luck with, you know, local artists or even like finding people that I think are dope. So I'm glad that, you know, you wanted to be on the show today. And, you know, we kind of start off every episode just having the guest give some background about, you know, how do you get into music initially? Like, where did this all begin for you? And, you know, what you do, just give some people some background.
Yeah, absolutely. So it actually started when I was real little. I want to say like around like age of 4. I think that's probably when I probably discovered around that time that my love for music was real at that point. I'll honestly say I took it more seriously around like high school, college age, when it came to like performing and stuff like that, singing, songwriting. I actually started playing piano and keys around like fifth grade. But more of the performance stuff came a little bit later. I would say mainly around like end of high school, early college. Producing, that came around college. Actually went to school for music, and it just kind of blew up from there. Yeah. One song after another, and then it just kind of took off. But yeah, started at an early age, and just kind of went from there. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. I know there's a lot of people that even when they get into it at an early age, it might not always be like so obvious that they want to become an artist eventually.
Right.
So for you, was it always the goal to be an artist and like be a producer and do all these things yourself, or did it not start out as that and it kind of evolved into that?
It kind of evolved. I didn't know it was going to turn into what it was going to turn into when I got older, but I really like singing a lot, and that, I think that love turned into wanting to like learn how to do more. So, I remember, I guess my first like real experience with like production, this was probably, like, I want to say like right before middle school, like fifth, sixth grade. I actually took, the piano class that I had to take in school. We basically got to use software. It was a garage band type of thing. So, doing like just fooling around with like loops and stuff, and then like playing around with synths and different chord structures and stuff. That was kind of probably my first experience into like production, I guess, if you will. But no, I really just like singing. I like music. And then it kind of blossomed into more. I think the more like you learn, that's when the more like the interest sort of goes up from there. Yeah. And that's when you're like, oh man, what does this do? Or how can I like involve a computer with what I'm doing now and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So kind of grew from there, but definitely just started from just a love of singing. So.
Yeah. And that's where it has to start, is just a love and kind of just that innocent ambition to be like, I want to do something creative. You know what I mean? I want to get involved. And I think that's super awesome that for you, that's exactly what it was. So you mentioned like GarageBand, obviously, because I know people, you can make beats on GarageBand, but I know a lot of people that, you know, they kind of look at that as like the entry level or like the beginner level of everything. So it's like, what nowadays, like, what are you using to, you know, make beats or then eventually record on and make your own songs?
So, I actually, I do still use GarageBand from time to time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, got to stay true to the roots. Yeah. But, honestly, I fool around between Logic and Pro Tools a lot. I know everybody's kind of on a side. You kind of like what you like, I guess. But I tell you another one. It's one that's good for like on the go. And I'd say it's probably just as good if you're an entry level person or if you're like, I don't know, a big time level producer. But BandLab, it's a probably, I want to say not so much lesser known now, but it's kind of getting to that garage band status, I guess, if you will. But no, Logic and Pro Tools, that's always going to be always gonna be a standby, for sure.
I know for recording, too, like, everybody always stands by Logic and Pro Tools for those, and for mixing, too. It's like, those are, like, the staples. And I know BandLab, especially on mobile, like you just said, you can take it on the go. I know a lot of people that now they'll pull up the beat on BandLab, and they'll just get an idea in their head and be like, I want to put this down real quick. So instead of doing just the voice memos, they go into BandLab and you can just record in there in the app and have it like ready to go. So it's super slept on. I've never really dug into it myself. I still use FL Studio. That's what I started on. That's what I still use.
Yeah.
I don't have the mobile version of FL though, because my phone always tells me I don't have enough storage. And I think BandLab is cool because like I don't think you need that much storage to do BandLab. Like, you could probably just get in there and, like, make ideas real quick and kind of just export the files and then eventually put them into Pro Tools or anything else you want to do. So that's kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah, and definitely keep GarageBand involved because, like we said, it's not like it's the peasant of all these things. It's like, no, it's still, you could still use it and it still gets the job done. But I definitely think there's, like, different levels to, like, the capabilities of each one. For sure. Right. So, and for you, like, let's just approach this from, you know, you want to make a song or an album. Where are you starting? Are you starting with, you're just going to make the production first and do all that and then write to it and then record? Is that your full process, or does it kind of vary per song, like based on the inspiration that you catch and then run with that?
It kind of, I would say it's probably the second part. I guess my process has changed so many albums, so many singles, everything. But I think to some degree it stays the same. Like sometimes I'll hear a melody or I'll hear like a chord, it's like a structure, something that I like, and I'm like, ooh, and I'll just kind of I'll either pull out my like notes pad or pull out something, the little notes app on the phone, and I'll just start like thinking of like ideas, or I'll just like kind of make a word tree and go from there. But for the most part, then there's some times where like I'll have an idea written down and then I'll be like, until that right song or that right, you know, melody comes along, then I'll save it for that. But I would say for the most part, I think I can hear like a melody and it kind of gives me the inspiration to start wanting to come up with ideas that kind of fit that structure, for the most part. But, like I said, it varies. Sometimes I go one way, sometimes I go the other way. But I would say, like, project-wise, sometimes I'll get an idea and I'll kind of run with it, but I'll try to stick song-wise to the same, like, whatever, like, the common theme is, I'll try to stick toward that. And then other times, there's just, like, songs that I'll be like, oh, man, I think this will fit good together, or, you know, like just the sound, overall sound of what I'm looking for, and then I'll be like, you know what, I think this might make the album, and we'll just try to work it to where that kind of tells a story within everything. Yeah. So it's an ever-changing process.
Yeah. It's crazy, because I think you just got to kind of let it, like, go where it goes sometimes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think we always want to be kind of in control of, like, the way things come out. But I feel like almost the happy accidents, or maybe the things we didn't initially plan on, are always the best ones. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't initially set out to do this certain thing, that's how it came out. But then you're like, wow, you know, I kind of just let the creativity go where it wanted to go, and we ended up here, and now we got this. So that kind of transitions me into my next question, which is talking about your newest project, which is called Singleton, that you just dropped, yes. I think, at the beginning of this month. Big fan, by the way. Think About You is probably my favorite song right now. I might have to sit with it some more. but talk to us about that, and, like, how does the process that you just talked about, how did that go for this project in particular, being your newest work?
So this actually, like you said, it actually came up by surprise. So it's funny you brought that up. This actually started... So this album started with a single that actually came out a couple of years ago. It was released, but then I ended up pulling it because I didn't think that it fit the time, or fit the what I was trying to achieve at the time. And it actually started from a rough day that I had at work on a Wednesday, which happened to be the first track of the album. I don't know. I really was listening to a lot of Thundercat at the time, and I it's like a real fine line to appreciate something, to want to, like, try to make something that is similar to what you like without, like, ripping it off. Mm-hmm. But because I mean, art's just a form of, like, imitation, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really listened to a lot of his early stuff, and it just was a lot of just like 3 and 4 part vocal harmonies, and him just playing bass over like a melody line or something like that, doing like a little, you know, what Thundercat does.
Yeah.
And I would say the rest of the album actually sort of fell into place over time. Honestly, it just was a matter of, like, wanting to write songs that I liked. And then, there was some relationship stuff that went on in between through that time. Because I think people now are starting to think of it like as, it's kind of like a ballads album. So you kind of get, like, I don't know, like, Weekend sort of vibes, like Khalid kind of, like, love song type vibes to it. But it came out of just living, like, life, I mm-hmm. guess, and just experiences. And then it just, year after year, it'd be like, oh, a couple songs here, a couple songs there. But then the more I kept listening to the singles, they would just, I'm like, man, I know they fit, but how do they fit together? And I think the process finally clicked this year. And I'm like, you know what? I think this is how I want to tell the story of, like, the last, like, maybe, like, year and a half, 2 years, just life stuff. Yeah. That's really what it was. But I love the process. I think this was one of the last few songs that actually came out for the album was actually a cover song, Bless. It's actually originally by Daniel Caesar, but I want to say that came out around, like, the pandemic time, when people were, like, doing all their little, like, covers and stuff on Instagram or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I think it just was a bonus track. I'm like, let's just add it on there. I think it fits what I'm trying to go for and whatnot. But there were some not many collabs on this album. Most of the production was done by me. The writing, most of the, like, 98.9% writing was me. I had a feature that was done by a friend of mine, actually. He was in Ohio. He actually moved to Florida a few years back. That kid from 94, a.k.a. Nick Kern, super nice guy, local rapper. Definitely shout out to him. And then my friend Megan, who I actually met at an internship a while back for Real Great Records. It's actually a Real Great Studio, sorry. And Canton, Megan Bowman, a.k.a. Wreck Like Me. So shout out to her. So she helped out a lot. But yeah, it was a fun process. A little bit of heartbreak, a little bit of fun, a little bit of, you know, everything. But yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. And I think that's the best projects always come from that. You know what I mean? Like you said, living life and then just having a little bit of all the experiences kind of mixed in. And that's kind of how you know it's like something that people are going to react to as well and be able to relate to, which I think is super awesome. And for you, this makes, I believe, the third project. Is that right? This was your third?
Or you got more than that? This is fourth. Project number four. I would say probably the longest one. Since in my room, I kind of always tell people that was kind of like the debut, like long playing album. Yeah. Everything else, they were kind of like smaller EPs. But this is number four.
Hey there, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a quick minute out to let you know about a couple different ways that you can support the podcast. One of the ways is by clicking that support the podcast button within your streaming platform. That is if you want to be a monthly supporter of the show. You can contribute either 99 cents, $5, or $10 a month. So that's the first way, and that's the more traditional way that we've had now for the last couple years. The other method that we actually just recently introduced is from our good friends over at Ko-fi. Ko-fi is a virtual tip jar. We have set our limit to a minimum of $10, but you can go make one-time, one-off donations. So if you visit ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast, you'll be able to donate. And all these different forms of donation go towards getting new guests every single week, getting potential sponsors on board to do giveaways, and overall just making the show better for you guys. So if you want to do that Ko-fi link, it's ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast. Otherwise, again, look for that support the podcast button in your streaming platform if you'd like to be a monthly supporter. And I just want to say thank you guys for your contributions. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. And how do you think the process from, you know, your first project or even the last few until now, how has that evolved as far as like how you felt about the body of work? Like each body of work, do you feel like you've done I don't want to say better, but like you feel more confident and you feel more like you know what you're doing? Does it feel like that every single time? Or does it just kind of like you don't really know, you're just kind of making these things and doing what feels natural?
Right. I think definitely looking back at the first two projects, between like Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2, it was, I don't want to say Wayne's World 1 was rushed, but it was kind of like you get that in that mode where you're so excited to get something released and you're like you want all your friends to see it. You're like, guys, I do this. This is what I do. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely can see the growth from it, because Wayne's World 2, I think I actually took the time to sit down, sort of like be with my own thoughts and like write. And it still felt, I don't want to say rushed, but it felt kind of like it could have been better. Like we're there, but we're not quite there just yet. I think by the time In My Room came out, that was like, okay, we're going to like sit down. I had a little bit of a team that actually helped me with the writing process and the production and everything, which I got to kind of show off a little bit on that too. But I think that album was kind of like, okay, this is the product that you can get if you actually take your time and kind of, you try to be like methodical about how you want everything to be and how it lines up with, what you want to release. And I think it came out really well. I'm still a fan of it. People, they're still like, man, that's my favorite album all time. I'm like, how about the new one? I even put even more work into that. And they're just like, yeah, no, but the last one's good. Yeah. But I think for the fourth album, for Singleton, it was tougher, I think. I wouldn't call it my best body of work. I think it's just another, I did go a different direction, I think, in the vocal style and the writing style of it. But I still think that in time, it might end up being probably like the best like storytelling out of all the albums that I have so far, which definitely won't be the last one, at least for a while now. But I think that it's one that you kind of can just pick up and put down, but you don't have to be in any kind of mood to, like, listen to any of the songs. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just, you can just pick them up and put them down, which I think that's, I like the versatility of how my music is. You kind of, the casual listener can pick it up, and the person that's trying to, I guess, gather the meaning of what they think I was trying to get across, they can kind of just, like, pick my brain, I guess, if you will, throughout the song. But
yeah,
I see the growth. I do see the growth. You can hear the growth, I think, too, when it comes to just the production and everything. But I think that's the difference between all four albums. Just, you see, like, not so much like linear, but you really see like a vertical growth between the writing style, the production, the time it took. Because I want to say, realistically, this album took about, I'd say, like, 3 years really to write, between all the singles and the releasing and kind of making sure stuff was cleaned up and whatnot. But I definitely see the process. It got better. It got easier, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Once you kind of know what you're doing, it's just take off. So.
And each one's kind of like a time stamp on, you know, where you were in that phase of your life as well. So being able to look back on them is kind of cool, because it's like, you probably remember, you might hear a song that came out like 4 years ago and you're like, yeah, I kind of remember what I was going through when I made that song. You know what I mean? So I think that's the cool part about, like, because I think the listeners, like, they can appreciate it from that perspective of, like, you know, they enjoy the song and they get the message. As the artist, I feel like you listen to it and you have a whole nother deeper meaning, because you know what it's about. You know exactly what it's about. But you also remember the times when you were making it, which, you know, the fans don't always have that perspective on. Definitely think it's kind of cool to think about, though. And I'm sure it'll keep evolving as you go, too. And each one, it'll be like, yeah, this felt easier, felt a little better, like, every single time. But definitely looking forward to, you know, hearing what's next, man. And I did want to talk about Canton for a second, because obviously, so here's a little sidebar. Whenever I've done interviews with anybody else, they'll say, where are you from? And I say, do you know Canton, Ohio? I'm close to there. And I'll either get, oh yeah, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or I get, I've never heard of that in my entire life. Yo. And I'm not even from Canton, I'm from Alliance, so I can't even say Alliance, because that's super irrelevant. So tell me about, like, being from Canton and doing music, which is not really, to me at least, this whole area is very traditional, blue collar. A lot of people have what would be considered normal jobs. Being an artist isn't always, like, talked about, like, prevalently. So, like, being from Canton, you know, has there ever been struggles as far as, like, being able to do this and, you know, make it work? Was there ever, like, thoughts of, you know, I want to go elsewhere, I want to pursue this at another place? Or, like, what's your perspective on all of that? And does any of that make sense? Is any of that relevant to you as well?
Yes, I would say that's probably the greatest question. I love when people ask me where I'm from, because there's a few hidden gems. I think I think the city as a whole, we've had our, like, phases when it came to music. Because I know, like, when I say, like, back in the, like, I want to say late 60s, early 70s, we had the OJs. You know, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course, even though they try to say they're from Cleveland. They went to McKinley, so they're local. Then you got, like, the Macy Grays, which, I mean, she moved on to bigger things, but never forgot where she came from. I think for a long time, like I said, we had our spurts. So you kind of had times where, like, everything was kind of booming downtown and everything, and, like, venues and stuff. And then just a period of things where, like, times where things went away. And I think the artists also went away with all of that being said. And I think now, I would say within the last, like, 5 years, it's just been, I think the opportunities here have been more, thanks to, like, I guess people just coming together and, like, finally coming out saying, like, hey, like, this is what I'm good at. This is a genre that, you know, I get into. This is what I do, like, production, stuff like that. I would say for me, it was, for being, like, in school, like, I guess in a school setting, I never really thought about what it would be like to be an artist, like, you know, post-school, post, you know, stuff like that. Because I'll be 100% honest. I mean, we're not like New York. We're not Chicago. We're not LA, nothing like that, Houston. So you kind of have to make your own opportunities. And you do have to travel and, like, you know, go out of your hometown to kind of get that experience and to try to make it, I guess, if you will. But there's been times where, and I mean, school aside, like with work and stuff like that, I mean, you do kind of think like, man, like, am I in the right place? Am I in the right, you know? And there was a time where I thought that I thought New York was going to be the move. Then you realize when you do move to a big city, I don't want to say like big fish, big pond, but it's, you kind of, you get, you know, everybody's trying to shoot for the same type of thing, whether it's like music, theater, dance, whatever, stuff like that. And I kind of said to myself, like, I don't think that there's nothing wrong with the city. I think that it kind of gives you the platform to, being in a smaller, I guess, more tight-knit city, it gives you more chances to be seen, I guess, by like the same people, and those same people, you know, kind of taking you and kind of spreading it out further like than that. But no, always love the city. I think it's growing very, very well musically, especially with like venues. You got like the Oracle. Technically, they're not in Canton anymore, but Buzzbin, they're up in Kenmore. They actually used to be down here. I think George's Lounge. There's a lot of like local little small like pubs and bars, and then you have like your kind of medium size, larger venue, the Palace. I think it took the matter of like artists all, no matter what they you're into, coming together and kind of making their own opportunities for everybody. And yeah, it really like I said, not New York, not none of the big cities, Chicago, nothing like that. But I think we're finding our niche. I think finally, and the artists are finally pulling together to make that happen and kind of make us relevant, you know, when it comes to music and stuff. But it does, like I said, it does come with its struggles, because, you know, just Canton, you know, Canton is what it is. We got sometimes got a little bit of a reputation, but it's a nice place. I think it's growing. Growing musically, I think it's growing in the right direction. Yeah, that's what I think. It's we're heading in the right direction, but we still got a lot of work to do, a lot of exposure, a lot of things to accomplish still. So
I think it's like, just like anywhere else, it's kind of like you got to take the good with the bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I think I like what you just said about, you know, if you did move to a bigger city, it's like you're the, I don't know what the phrase is. It's like small drop big in a big pond or whatever, a big ocean or whatever. Yeah, it's like totally different. And I feel like, you know, a city like Canton, because it's smaller, you can almost build that community way easier than those big places. I feel like those big places don't have that sense of community. It's more just like the rat race, you know what I mean? Like, we're here, and like the person that puts in the most work is probably going to get that opportunity, as opposed to this other person might not get that opportunity. But it's like, when you have, you know, only a certain amount of people, it's like, if you guys are building that community and you can collaborate and do these different things, it's like, you're probably going to have a lot more success doing that than anything else. And I've always said that too. Like, I've been super blessed just to, I feel like we all are, to be in the age where it's like, we can build online through social media and all these other things. We couldn't do that 20, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? If you were from Canton trying to do this in like the 80s and 90s, probably not going to happen. Like, it's probably just not going to happen. We got to be honest with ourselves. So it's like, we're blessed to be in this era as well, to be able to build our name through these platforms and be able to connect with people all over the world, and then still do these local events and do these local things and connect with people that way. So, yeah, I think it's just about all about what you want at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And there's still people that I've talked to, they're from small towns, and they're like, I just want to go to LA. That's all I want to do. And I'm like, as long as that's, you know, what you feel good about, and, you know, that's what you're trying to get after, then by all means, like, go for that. But I think, like, a place like Canton, it's kind of showing that that's not the only way anymore. You don't have to go to these big cities to do that if you don't want to. Right. You could build that, like we said, the community from your home base and just see what see what happens. I'm excited for it too, because like I said, I've just been looking for people. It's all over the place, and I usually come up short. I'm gonna be honest. I get people that are just not serious about it, or they're just like not, they don't have the same passion that I do for it. So it's like when I find people, I'm like, I get super excited. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like,
fired up.
They're just like, you know, a few minutes away or whatever. So, you know, I get super excited, and I know that other people do too. But definitely an interesting conversation to have, and I knew since you're not that far away, always like to get other people's takes on it too. But can keep doing its thing. I know there's a lot of cool artists I still got to connect with out there, but it's definitely exciting. And so we got the last few questions here. These are ones I ask on every episode, more life related. And the first one is, if you could go back 10 years ago, maybe give yourself a piece of advice, or maybe not change anything at all, what do you think you would do?
I think the main thing is just go for it. I think, I know I can speak for myself, but there's like a lot of apprehension, I think, with a lot of things. And it's just, I think that we get slammed with so much stuff, I know, when it comes to like social media, stuff like that, that it's really easy now, I think, to just kind of get out there, but it's also easy to get lost out there with everything that's there. So I think just like, if I could have told this to my younger self, I would have said, hey, just go for it. Like, even if it's bad, like, still go for it, because and keep making sure people see it, making sure people get it, you know, you get it out there. You know, just take more risk. I think that would be the main thing. So,
yeah, I love that. And if we flip that then, and we say 10 years from now, where do you think you envision yourself in music and in life in general?
So I think, which I didn't think I'd ever say this over the air, but kind of taking a back seat and focusing more on like the production side of things. Still want to, like, you know, release music. I don't want to completely, like, ghost everybody like Frank Ocean, you know, just only doing a feature every once in a while.
Album every 10 years, yeah.
But I think just kind of just taking a back seat and kind of helping the next batch of people try to, you know, help them find their way. I definitely think, too, not to go off too far in a sidebar, so Singleton, little backstory, I'm in the works of making that my actual brand when it comes to like photography, fashion, stuff like that, and music. So it kind of turned from kind of wanting to make it like, oh, this is just this cool little fad thing, like this is my, you know, persona, to like trying to make it into a brand, production company, like sort of branding into like fashion, stuff like that. And just helping, like I said, the next generation find their, you know, the next person that's like, you know, next big thing, find their way. So
that's awesome, man. Be able to diversify and then give back at the same time. That's super awesome, man. Yeah. So congrats on that. And do you have any final words of wisdom today for the listeners?
I guess not to be a dead horse, but again, just kind of, if it's something that you're passionate about and something that you, you know, put your heart into, and something that you think is, you want everybody to know, you know about you, whether it's music, whatever it may be, just kind of just going for it. Don't be afraid, because everybody messes up. Even honestly, like, what you may think may be like not your best work, somebody may think, you know, that could be somebody's favorite, you know, something, song, shirt, whatever. Kind of thing. So just kind of just going for it. Don't be afraid of what people might think, because if you like it and you're good at it, I mean, you know, your toughest critic is yourself. So just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I gotta say, Marcus, I appreciate you once again, man, for stopping by and giving some of your stories. Congrats on the project again, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with this brand and all the other things you got coming up soon, man. And we'll have to do this again one day as well, maybe in person. No, you're not that far away.
Absolutely. So. Yes, sir.
Thanks, everyone, for listening today. That was episode 203. We'll be back this time next week. As always, hit the support button on your podcast streaming platform if you'd like to send us any funds. And feel free to leave us that 5-star rating if you enjoyed today's episode. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.